Welcome to the ES Arcade with Emmanuel, Sean, and Randy. Join us as we talk about the general nerdy pop culture that is video games, movies, comic books, and all that other madness. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started.
USA!
That's right, nice Zoom lady. The recording is in progress. The ES Arcade is now open. I'm Randy Kings, and I'm with Sean Vander.
Yes, of course.
And welcome to the arcade. We're now open, ready to go. Get those tokens ready. Yep. Now, first, I'm going to let you know, we do not have the incomparable Vitamin E-Man with us right now. And we're going to go through some changes. He's doing good. We're doing good.
Let's just say a lot of stuff has happened recently. Some important stuff. We're going to say...
Just stuff.
And I'm not saying he'll come back.
Yeah.
I mean, give it a bit.
They always come back.
I mean, yeah.
That doesn't make it sound creepy.
So I don't know where to go with that.
But I think that's all
been happening on me. I guess we can go into personal stuff later.
But I mean, obviously.
We have a very full docket.
Mm-hmm.
We've
a lot of stuff. We've been gone for a while, and there's been a lot of stuff. We're not even going to get to everything. We got a small amount of time, and we don't want to dawdle. So let's get to it. All right.
Yes.
So we're going to go with some cool stuff that's happening in, first let's get into the not great stuff. So people don't know.
There's a bunch of great, not great stuff. I don't know where we're going.
What I was going to say is talking about the situation with former Miss Black Widow.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna talk briefly about it.
Make it quick, yeah.
Because it's not a great situation, and a lot of people have already weighed in on it. Basically, Black Widow came out. I enjoyed the movie. I actually watched it in theaters, like I said I would, and I had a great.
Didn't. I feel bad about that.
I mean, don't. Hey, watch however you can watch it. You know, it's tough now. That's one of those.
Yeah,
it's not great. But basically, it come down to is that because of what happened in the last couple of years, last 2 years rather, with the pandemic, it has not been great because it's hard for movies to get out and do what they need to do because we want to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get hurt from anything. So what ended up happening was Scarlett Johansson was supposed to get in her contract, the Black Widow film was supposed to get a theatrical exclusive release, which would mean box office tickets. Now, granted, it still made pretty good money for pandemic times.
Like, yeah, really I would good bet money. It did.
I think it's like $200 million, and it's like, okay. But they also put it on Disney Plus, and apparently they did not renegotiate the contract because, you usually base for especially the lead actress who's executive producer on this film, she may have had a deal regarding ticket sales and the back ends and whatnot, all this Hollywood money stuff. Apparently she did not get that and she feels she might be owed some money. And I can't fault her for doing that, for suing Disney over this. I can't say she shouldn't have done it. It just also looks bad because, maybe they shouldn't have put it on streaming like they did, but also maybe we shouldn't have to worry about going to a theater and getting sick and dying. Just putting it out there. It's like, it is not great. Disney, it doesn't make it better by basically saying that, they just didn't do anything to talk about the situation.
Yeah, I honestly think this particular situation or lawsuit is probably going to be settled outside of...
It should be.
Yeah, outside of court, and it would be like something like it was settled on a non-disclosed
amount,
and it's diggity done. We don't hear anything about it, and it's like, cool, all right, done. And then we move the fuck on.
Well, and the problem about it is that there's a lot of news outlets. Like, if you look up, I just typed in Scarlett Johansson, sues Disney, Black Widow streaming release. It's on the Wall Street Journal. It's not just on, it's just not on entertainment sites. It's on a bunch of other sites.
Mm-hmm.
I can even look back and see, not that one. But that they
camera figure
that they out. That there they you look here and there's all these people, all these sites that I never thought would ever ask about this. and they're picking up these stories. And granted, it's also on everyone's part. Like, maybe Scarlett Johansson should have backed down a little, or that she should have not have been as public about it. But also Disney may have also should, I would say, should have reacted a little better, because they kind of came at her saying, you know, you're being irresponsible by thinking that we shouldn't have done it by streaming. The thing that gets me is that Scarlett Johansson did this, but there, for the last year or so, there have been other directors, other actors. Hell, John Krasinski and was it, and his wife, Emily Blunt, they actually sued Paramount for more money because they cut their release of Quiet Place 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot of people know that story. That happened like a couple months ago. I think it was like in March or whatever.
I don't know about that.
It happened, but no one said anything. And one of the arguments you could have is that they're doing this because it's just Scarlett Johansson on her own without a man. It's just her. And I'm not saying that there's misogyny going on.
I think they're blowing that out of proportion.
Oh, I don't think so, dude. Because if you look at how many people sued their studios, various people, a lot of people don't know about it. And the one constant they have is all dudes. It just makes it really weird when the one woman who does the lawsuit does get in some trouble as far as the media goes.
I don't know. Maybe it's because she was in like the MCU and those movies made a F ton of money.
Oh, but
and people love Scarlett Johansson, so I mean,
but then they post articles about her that are not great. That makes it, that actually is proving my point.
I don't think her having no man has
not that it's no man, but she's the only sole woman in charge of a film that's getting in any public publicity. Other studios that got sued.
Well, I mean, fucking what's her face for Sony in Ghostbusters 2016? I mean, there was no like lawsuits about that.
Yeah, that's not a lawsuit. That's not.
Blah. But we can get to that.
Let's look at this. Isn't the first actor to sue a studio? Let's take a look from July.
Oh, good lord! And I thought this was gonna be a quick blurb, Brandon.
I know, but I'm curious because you said, "Oh, hey, you just challenged."
All right, fine.
There isn't.
Right. I should have known. I fucked up.
Some other studios who've done it. Yeah, Sylvester Stallone, he sued Warner Brothers over Demolition Man in 2017. Did you know that?
Yeah.
2019, Mel Gibson sues for the Professional. Really? That's all. Not big news.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Crispin Glover, really?
Well, that one, yeah, that was very... Yeah.
Did I remember? I feel like we talked about that. I don't know.
Well, that one's a very famous one because he got blacklisted.
Oh, okay.
He got blacklisted, but yeah, see.
All right.
I'm curious now. Let's see when did that lawsuit occur for him?
Oh man.
No, that's over. Oh yeah. See,
is it over Quiet Place Part 2?
It didn't happen in June and it wasn't big news.
Yeah, okay.
Saying. I'm not, hey, obviously I could be wrong. At the same time, there is a history.
Okay.
To say that movie studios aren't sexist. Pretty certain that's...
Well, no, yeah, they do get sexist. I mean, I maybe I'm, because I'm not really thinking about it being... Maybe it's just not thinking about it just because, like, in a sexist, like, remark. I mean, it kind of sucks when this sort of shit has to happen.
Oh yeah,
but it's like
it's not the fact that the lawsuit occurred. It's the media attention over it because they're
digging
into it, and it's also how both parties are behaving. I'm not saying that it's great on both sides because it ain't. Realistically, I agree with you. They should just settle out of court and be done.
Yeah,
but at the same time, everyone's like, "Look at Scarlett Johansson doing."
Well, I mean, she's just like, trying to protect her assets, and I get
I know, and I get that. It's like, yeah, but then why are we faulting her for when other people have done the same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But on happier Marvel news, so if anyone here who's listening
or watching us,
if you are not watching any of the Disney Plus MCU stuff, what are you doing, man?
I know.
Really, I would arguably say I really enjoy all the Disney Plus original shows. I watch them all.
Yeah.
Even not the hero stuff, like not just Star Wars, not just the Marvel stuff. I enjoyed the Disney shows they have there, the little shorts they have. But then you have this great show that I watched with my entire family, that the glorious purpose of Loki.
Yeah, I know we're late to this because we were kind of off, but look,
watching Loki shows like this.
Yeah, Loki was pretty rad.
You know,
and it ended pretty rad.
I'm going to say it's really awesome, though, because normally, Sean, you don't get a chance to watch any of this stuff when we talk about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess.
But and it's like, oh, crap, this is really good.
Yeah, Loki ended pretty rad. And, like, back to the Scarlett Johansson stuff, I didn't mean to, but it's like, had she maybe acted a little better, they might have brought her back, even though her character is technically dead.
I mean, but that's a lot
through Loki now, as I'm like, maybe she didn't have to.
Well, I mean, it comes down to that. For that, realistically, their contracts were ended. They didn't renew their contracts. They were all done. That's what, if that's the case, then Robert Downey Jr. could come back. I'm like,
I mean, he could, but like,
no, they're not going to do that. Not for anything. Not unless they have a really good reason.
Yeah.
Black Widow is a character. Her arc is done. They have Yelena coming in. But yes, Loki sets up so much fun stuff, and I really loved it. If anyone out there hasn't watched it, it's only 6 episodes. They're really fun. They did an amazing job with it. They make you ask questions. It sets up for the next, at least the next saga, I have to believe. And I'm really glad that they even showed, like in this article we have here, through the Hollywood Reporter, that at the stinger of the finale of season one says Loki returns for season two.
Yeah, and that ain't gonna be for a while though.
I think they're filming some stuff now, or starting to.
Are they?
Well, they've already announced a bunch of these things. They're working on it, man. Okay. Already have the new, or not filming, but they're in pre-production.
I thought they would be like definitely after like a movie or two in this new phase.
I mean, dude, that what I'm saying is they're working on it. It's not releasing, but they're working on it. It's like they've already talked to various, I think they've already talked to the original director and one of the writers about how they have a team that's already working on it.
Okay.
All these questions. But yes, I'm really glad that it's coming back. It's super good. Looking at the Hollywood Reporter, they talk about all the things coming up as far as what it ties to. You know, we also have, you know, it definitely sets things up for Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness.
Yep.
If anyone who isn't familiar with the show,
Spider-Man, possibly.
Spider-Man for sure, because with that ending and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. But basically the story of Loki takes place right after the first Avengers movie. You get to see a version of Loki who grabbed the Tesseract from in Endgame. And he ends up out in the middle of nowhere and gets picked up by the Time Variance Authority, who they basically explain to him that he did what he did and it was wrong. So he has to work with them to fix the sacred timeline, and craziness ensues because you get to see all kinds of weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
And I never thought I would see,
what's up?
Was it Luke? Was it Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. What about
Owen Wilson in a Marvel movie? And I'm just now, it actually made me laugh because I also saw his brother in a DC, because he's the dad in Stargirl. And I'm like,
he's the dad in Stargirl. Yes.
So the Wilsons are part of comic book movie lore now. Well, comic book screen lore.
Well, it's all huge now. Like the whole comic book scene and the movie media and all that. That's
but what I liked about Loki as a series is that it was very interesting. It was grand but also very small because of the time frame they had, because you know their episodes were between like 35 to like 45 minutes each,
and they were filming that shit between COVID.
So and it's done really well. They reference some stuff, they show like some new stuff, they reference old stuff, they have characters come back. And people who haven't seen it already, but they actually give an example of what Loki would look like if he wore the comic book costume.
Yeah. Which, I saw Frog Thor.
Oh, Frog Thor is great. And then seeing all the, like, there is a sequence where you're going to see what other Lokis would be like. It's just super good. I can't say anything more better about it. Other than the fact that I watched this show with my son, he really liked it. I'm concerned now that maybe he might be a Loki because, you know, he was super into it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I
King the Conqueror.
Yeah. Well, no, not well, sort of.
I mean, he wasn't the Conqueror as far as what did he? How did they?
No, he's not. Well, that was He Who Remains. The show's been out long enough for anyone who hasn't watched it. We're gonna be swearing hella shit.
Yeah,
we watched it. It's been
Daniel's
out
not here. He's not gonna stop us spoiling shit right now.
There is a very of one of the villains is a variant of the character, the time traveling. I always have a hard time calling him a villain because he's. I mean, he's a villain to us because we're in the unfortunate timeline that he may or may not need to get rid of. But
yeah,
he is just but yeah, he has that steady hand of trying to keep the timeline. He Who Remains is a variant of a specific person from the 31st century, who one of the other variants is King the Conqueror. He's a very big time traveler, and they I believe they say that there's a statue at the very end of
That was Kang, yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be
totally Kang.
But we're gonna find out when Ant-Man and the Wasp, when that same actor who played He Who Remains is going to be Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I'm excited for that. And I'm hoping that because they actually even reference the old MCU as we know it and how because of what Loki and Sylvie did, they may have just wiped that all away. Or as I view it as, nope, there's this other shit now.
Yeah, no, I think I like to think that there is other shit now.
Well, it's going
to
be a lot.
And it's just going to lead into Disney's... Marvel series What If.
Yeah.
It's gonna do that real good.
Yes.
And yeah. And I'm looking forward to things like the Sonyverse.
Maybe not so much on that one.
Well, see, I think of that, yeah, I know, but like when I think of that, I go, oh shit, Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Oh, okay, cool. I'm down with this. Or
that is the crux of or that is the focal point, the linchpin of Sony Marvel Cinematic Spunk. Oh,
yeah.
Because I tried watching, I watched the trailer for Let There Be Carnage,
mm-hmm.
and I watched it, and my son Ronan was next to me, and he goes, "Why does Carnage look weird?" And I was like, "It's
because Venom looks weird." So,
I said it's because they didn't spend enough money on their special effects team to make this look legit. Like.
Fair.
He goes, but Groot looks legit. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, because they spend money on Groot's bourgeois. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, it's because, I get it. The effects are very different. Effects teams are always different. But mm-hmm. that's what got me when I watched that trailer. I was like, ooh, with the fire and everything, this does not look good.
Mm.
But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I enjoyed Venom enough to where I'll watch it on TV. I probably will not watch Let There Be Carnage in theaters. Not that I don't. Want to but also
start going back to theaters. I haven't seen Suicide Squad yet, and I'm gonna watch it in theaters, like mark my fucking words. But for like Let There Be Carnage, I don't, here's that thing, you're like, you're right, you're like, oh, I didn't like the first one, do I really need to go to the
it might be good. I get Sony's trying. Sony paid a lot of money to ensure that they keep this property as long as they can.
Yeah, they did.
And they're doing everything they can to keep it going. I feel like at some point or another, it's not going to work out for them.
No.
And Marvel's not gonna like
Disney's doing.
And then, you know, that's why I'm glad the multiverse is being introduced into the MCU. Cause then, you know, there's a point where they'll be like, got it. Yoink. Thanks.
Yeah.
You're in this world now. Done. But I don't know, we'll see. I mean, it could be good, it could be amazing. I do like Woody Allen.
Yeah, it's Woody Allen.
That's not Woody, not
he's
Woody.
Carnage.
That's
oh, wait, you're right. No, Woody Harrelson.
It's Woody Harrelson. Right. Although Woody Allen,
You did that to both of us.
I said no, and you said yes, but Woody Allen, Sony Marvel.
No.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
All quirky, and he'd be like him walking New York.
Oh God, stop! I'm Carnage.
Yeah, the glasses.
Stop it. Yeah.
Weird. But they I do like him. I do like Tom Hardy. you know, but we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, I think there's gonna be a lot of high expectations just because the Carnage character, and that even like his premiere series, like the Maximum Carnage thing, which they seem to be referencing a little bit of,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna play into that for fans who are for initiated fans.
Yeah.
Now there are people like my in-laws who might not know anything about these characters and they just might enjoy it, and that's great. That'll be great for them. But
you know who's missing in that equation? Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, because they don't have him. I believe Sony's doing we might lose Spider-Man. Let's get all these characters out and see which one sticks.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, back to with the MCU. I, as you were saying, that the multiverse, at least what happens at the end of Loki, definitely, I feel like, sets things up for their next series that comes out, actually, when people are listening to us, the week of August 11th. So when this episode's up, you can probably just, I would say, listen to us and then go right on to Disney Plus. And
that would be really nice of you to do that. Thank you.
Check this out. Not Free Guy, but yeah, Gizmodo actually has this article about Marvel's Multiverse Expanse with What If. Now, they've actually released a couple of trailers for this already.
They're pushing that Captain Carter something good.
Oh, but she looks fantastic.
She does. And, she really does.
But they also have, you know what I like is, I mean, I was disappointed to hear, because I was on the assumption that all the actors who played the on-screen role were going to reprise it for the voiceover for this, for What If.
Okay.
But it's not the case. There are some, they said there are at least two actors I know for sure who didn't, which is Robert Downey Jr., who I believe it's because his contract ended and
knew
it, which I understand. And then Benedict Cumberbatch, which I also don't understand because he does voiceover work. Like, what was he doing?
That he couldn't... Probably something else.
Maybe. But you get to see characters, like for people who don't know about Marvel's What If, it is it's the what if one thing changed in a Marvel story that changes the entire world. I'm actually a big fan of the comic books of What If. One of my favorites I've mentioned here is the what if Wolverine became King of the Vampires, and that messes everything up. If you think Marvel Zombies was crazy, King of the Vamp, the him being turning Marvel superheroes into vampires, crazy time. So you'll get to see what if Tony, like in this article says, what if Tony Stark met Killmonger, and what if Peggy Carter was the super soldier, got the super soldier serum and became Captain Carter. The thing that gets me in this the most is that the actors they got in here that we know for sure is they actually did get Chadwick Boseman to reprise his role as T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an interview, if you look online, I believe it's through either IGN or whatnot, but if you just look up what if interviews on like YouTube or whatnot, you'll see that they actually asked, you know, who was the first person to reply back, and they were saying, surprisingly enough, it was Chadwick Boseman. He saw the script, was very excited about it, and he got to play a more fun T'Challa, because, you know, as we see him, his dad had died, he's trying to defend his kingdom, the whole thing with Civil War and whatnot, and going into Black Panther, very serious guy. This mm-hmm. one is a little more fun. It's him, what if he ends up joining Yondu?
Ravagers.
Yeah. And the Ravagers. And it looks, I mean, have you seen the trailer, Sean?
Yeah, totally did.
Doesn't it?
It's good stuff.
It looks fun. Like, he looks like he's having a great time, and that's the Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And I like that they introduced, like, scrolling down here, you'll see that they have the image of the Watcher.
Watcher, yeah.
Who we saw a little bit of from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Mm-hmm. And they actually asked the showrunner if this Watcher is the same from there. And she said, that, I will say, has to be a Kevin Feige question. Because apparently, she said, part of the series that they were making apparently took elements from movies they have in the pipeline. So okay. They had to completely change it. I was like, oh, they did.
Well, good.
Which I'm like, okay. Exciting.
Good. Am I going to see Stan Lee talking in the middle of them, talking about how he was doing this and that? And like, somewhere, some way, Stan Lee, he's alive somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm down with that idea. So,
but yes, cool. And aside from this being the last performance of Chadwick Boseman as the mm-hmm. Black Panther, or as T'Challa in the MCU. We're also going to get the actor, is it Jeffrey Wright? He's known for, he was in, you know, Hunger Games, but he was also famously in The Walking Dead, or Walking Dead, the, sorry, the, actually was he in, like, no, he was in Walking Dead. He was in all three seasons of Westworld, but he's okay. Going to be the voice of the Watcher. And, good. You know, really good actor. Like, he's the voice you hear in the trailer. He goes, you know, what happens? So what if? And I'm like, ooh, this looks really exciting.
Yeah. As much as I hate Marvel Zombies, I'm looking forward to that the most.
One of the best, like, franchises or stories they've ever had.
Yeah, man. Like,
that was a what if. That was a what if.
It is a totally a what if. And I am not keen into Marvel Zombies because of my zombie racism. But
they were people too. You know that, right?
No. But
they weren't people.
Well, yeah, they were people, but yeah. But when Marvel Zombies popping up on that, that's like, it kind of opens the doors to a lot of things.
Well, it's one of their big stories of what if.
I know, I dig it. It's
fun,
it's
fact, kids. The guy who created the Marvel Zombie series also created The Walking Dead.
He did.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that didn't compute until now. Wait, Robert Kirkman?
Yeah.
Did Marvel Zombies?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to look that up.
Hold on.
Okay. I'm going to look that up. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just like, okay, yeah, all right, fine. I guess I don't believe you, but not in an asshole. I'm like, what? Get the fuck out of here. Like, I need confirmation here. Hold on.
Let me see.
No, don't do it. I will do that.
Okay. While Sean does that, wants to go after my credibility. I'm like, I'm pretty certain it says Kirkman on the cover, unless there's another Kirkman in comic books. But yes.
That's true, I guess.
I mean, go ahead, look for it. No nunchuck, Sean. Don't nunchuck this conversation.
No, I won't. No.
But yes, they're Marvel's What If. It is animated, which I'm fine with because, you know, there's things that you can't do.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fun.
But yeah, and actually those zombies,
like that guy.
You can see in the background, you'll see an image here on a lot of the trailer. You'll see them a little bit, and even they show a zombie. Now, I don't know how far extent it is, but it's going to be exciting to see because there's also some other snippets there where you get to see. I think it's What If Loki won at New York. And it looks like that he Thanos.
There's definitely one of like Ultron too.
So I mean, what if I wonder if the what if Ultron worked? Like, you know, I guess it would be kind of a boring. Well, would Ultron been able to stop Thanos if he had any infinity? Like, if it was just invaders in general, like just in general, I think he could stop Thanos without an Infinity Stone.
No.
Yeah, a autonomous program that has millions of robots at his disposal.
I think those guys would have torn right through them.
I think, through Thanos or through?
Not through Thanos. I think those robots would maybe put up a good fight against some of the drones that Thanos has. And the goons that Thanos, his click.
Yeah, but remember, Ultron
didn't have a click, really.
Well, Ultron has a click in the sense that he is a security system designed by Tony Stark. So you would think that the Avengers would be in that fight. So if the Avengers had a ton of vibranium power or vibranium shielded drones, they were commanded by one person. I think
Ultron would have killed the Avengers.
I'm saying that what if he worked, as in like he's supposed to be what he's supposed to do.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Getting vibranium was a pain in the ass.
I don't know. Did you watch Age of Ultron?
I did.
Did you notice that he just walked in, gave Claw money, and then walked out?
But you can't. No, the drones aren't going to be all vibranium.
I think majority of them were. Well, not a majority, but like a good amount.
I think Ultron was vibranium for sure.
They're all technically Ultron.
You know that, right?
Yeah, like programmed, but like the
drones. No, like they're interconnected. Vibrating. They're interconnected.
Yeah, I get that.
And I don't think I think you're right, but that's also because he built that engine to destroy Sokovia, which also shitty that he did.
Yeah, very shitty.
But you know, then what if Ultron not only worked but made him vibranium, like a lot Ultron. Of vibranium.
Oh, he would have. He might have cleaned out Wakanda of vibranium just for the drones. That'd be fucked.
To defend the world from. Anyways, I'm gonna get into this.
Yeah.
All right, but yes,
there's a what if story.
I am very excited for the what if and for everything the MCU has. There's some really fun stuff coming. Again, we have in the next like year or two? Yeah, next year or so, we're gonna have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and Spider-Man. You know.
Yeah, we've not really talked too much about the Ant-Man and the Quantumania.
Well, because they don't have a lot.
I kind of forget about it. Yeah,
well, and I haven't. It's just they don't talk about it because they don't have anything to talk about yet. Not that they don't. They're just not talking about it. Because you know they probably want to hide some stuff. The fact that we know that Kang the Conqueror is in it.
That's true. Yeah, that'll be a thing. And
looking
forward to news for that.
I'm very excited for it, just because you know Jonathan Majors, he was really good. Like his performance at the end of Loki was so amazing. As He Who Remains, and how when he explains that he ran into a bunch of other versions of himself, other variants, and a lot of them they just got into a big fight. I'm like, dang, that's crazy. And for anyone out there who hasn't seen it yet, and I don't know if you know this, Sean, but someone noticed that the last episode of WandaVision and the last episode of Loki, they actually sync up at the end.
I hear this. They have like the same director or producer or something like that?
Well, the producer being Kevin Feige, then yes.
Well, yeah, but he's like an executive producer though, isn't he?
He's the guy who oversees everything MCU.
Yeah.
Someone actually took the ending sequence of when Wanda realizes herself being Scarlet Witch, and when He Who Remains pauses and looks and goes, wow. From this point on, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then it's like someone actually tied them up and like they looked at the timestamps and they're very close to each other. And I'm like, if that's a coincidence, that's freaking amazing. Purpose, even more amazing. Because, you know, that means they thought about that, which I'm not saying they didn't.
Okay.
We will have. But yeah. Jonathan Majors going to show up, I'm going to assume, multiple times because, you know, there's different.
Yeah.
Variants of him, I guess. There's a lot of kings.
Yeah.
The Counselor of Kings. We're going to hopefully see a lot more announcements coming up for all that stuff. Actually, what I'm surprised by is not more Spider-Man. Was it No Way Home? So, and they keep hearing rumors that there's rumors saying they're never going to release a trailer, so we have to watch it blind.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think that's true. There's rumors of that. It's not a real. I think eventually they're gonna release a trailer.
There's no way they wouldn't. But if that's the case, I'm like, you ballsy motherfucker.
I know. Would you want? I'm curious now. If there was a movie that, not that you didn't see the trailer, but that there is no trailer at all available, would you like? It's a big budget. Like it's either DC or Marvel. Either one. Would you take the chance to watch it?
If it was didn't have any Marvel attached to it, I'm less likely to see that film.
Okay.
But Marvel's attached to this, and now I'm like, all right, okay, you've done good work in the past.
Yeah.
And I know these actors, and it's not like they're not coming back to reprise roles here. I'm more likely to watch that film.
You're gonna take a chance.
Had it been anything else,
Warner Brothers says, hey. We have a brand new DC movie coming. Just called DC movie. No trailer. Come Fuck on. No. For people who are.
Oh, boy. I couldn't say no fast enough. I'm sorry. I love DC with all of my heart. But you motherfuckers know. You've been falling asleep at the wheel. You've been fucking it up. So to do something like that, I'd be okay. And no trailer.
No trailer.
It's just no trailer.
Okay, what did they say?
An hour of Superman doing this. Fuck you.
If it were like Superboy, maybe. Like Connor, he's doing the.
Oh yeah, Connor Kent. He's
doing the.
Oh, you dumb mother. Oh. Yeah, there'd be a fight.
Okay, I see that. Well, because reputation means a lot, but yeah, I'm curious. Like, I don't know how much. I mean, I guess I used to go off movie posters, like we all did. We bought movie posters, and we're like, oh, we see a movie poster.
Yeah, but even back in, look, we are dating ourselves with this, but even back then, sometimes because you know trailers.
Oh yeah, no, we saw a lot of bad movies because of posters.
We saw a lot of bad movies because of posters.
I showed my little aside. Then we're gonna move on to the next thing.
Okay.
I told my son. Ronan about how there is a remember we talked about this. Universal is attached to Nintendo making a Mario movie, like a CG Mario movie.
Which
he's really excited by, and he goes, it's the first Super Mario movie. And I went, oh, kiddo. I showed him the trailer to the original Super Mario Brothers movie from the 80s. And for kiddos out there who don't know, there was a Super Mario Brothers movie. And it is now, I will arguably say that it was not, they weren't doing it on purpose to not be good, but it just was, because you know their story was off, the time when effects were not what they wanted, and it's not great.
The directors were pretty dumb.
And I showed him a trailer, and he watched it and goes, that was kind of cool. And I'm like, oh, kiddo, I thank you for doing it. But I remember I watched it in theaters. And yeah, but see, you're going to see on our screen here, I just did a Google search for Marvel's movie. It starred, you know, Bob Hoskins, who I love, John Leguizamo, who I also love. My son pointed out, but Luigi doesn't have a mustache. I'm like, he doesn't, and you're right.
And he's not Italian.
And well, neither is Bob Hoskins, but you know.
Neither is acting. Bob Hoskins. Yeah, but who gives a shit about that?
Not then. And you know, I will say, like, this little image here we're showing with the red and green, it's actually not bad, but the rest of this is not good.
No.
Their story, I'm not even gonna get into the story that they tried making, but he watched the trailer and was like, ooh. And mind you, we had this kind of cool movie poster, but you know, it's definitely of the time and definitely not what we want now. I will probably sight unseen, like you, if it's a studio I'm familiar with, I will give it a shot. Now I'm sure there's a lot more misses than I have hits on that, but you know, who knows, could work out.
But that's a rumor, we can't really go talk about, like, they're gonna make a fucking trailer.
There's a trailer waiting to be cut. Trailer waiting to come out. I think what it is they're waiting to make sure they can keep good old Peter Parker, keep his mouth shut so that he doesn't mess things up.
Oh yeah. Tom Holland, we're gonna put you in this vault.
And
yeah, it has internet, but it's a very limited internet to keep your ass off of
dial up and or it's satellite internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have access to any social media.
Nope.
You have to do.
Nope. Here, we did give you a PS5.
Yeah. And, he's like,
games. Yeah. We have all this. There's a lot of food. There's some ice cream in the fridge. You know, you're going to shut your fucking hole.
Yeah.
And things are going to come out for this movie naturally. And yeah. So shut up. That's what's happening, Tom Holland. And then everyone's going to be cool about it.
Yeah, just be cool. Don't be cool.
Don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb. But yes, all right. So now in not related superhero news, new trailer, which we're not going to show because you know it doesn't really.
Okay.
Well, because you know, good old streaming doesn't really help us on this. But
not yet. Give it time.
Maybe when things work out better. But yes. So the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer dropped.
Oh,
they also got a date. Good. And Sean's a little more excited about it than I am, because
my issue
about it is there's always two things I feel like in fandom that can get things wrong that people get upset about is one, you change the gender, which they
don't care,
which, you know, I enjoyed that movie. I thought it was very fun, but I understand.
Wait, what are you talking about? Ghostbusters 2016?
Yes.
You enjoyed that movie?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Now
I thought it was fine.
Did they have leaned in more to connecting to the original one? Yes, because I feel like they teased it and didn't give you a payoff.
Yeah.
But I don't hate on it as nearly as many people, or at least has perceived on the internet. Two.
And back then, sure.
Still now. two, you make the characters, or you introduce younger characters like kids. Like if you look, especially in the 90s, in the early 2000s, if you want to change a series, you usually get the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they did here, where they have a bunch of kids that are supposedly descendants, they're connected to one of the original team members of Ghostbusters, Egon. But yeah, I mean, I like that it's directed by, John Reichman?
Jason Reichman.
And, you know, he has family, or he has lineage, essentially, tied to this film.
Yep.
Because of Ivan Reichman making the original. And I mean, if you haven't done it already, check out his behind the scenes commentary. If you don't mind spoilers, because they're going to show a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Where they talk about how he made it and what he wanted to do.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call them spoilers. I mean, you watch the trailer and you're like, hey, cool, awesome. You get the idea what the movie's going to be, and you're good with that, right? I wouldn't call that spoilers. I mean, depending on the trailer itself, you get the idea that that Finwolf Castle is his last name's Spengler, and you get the idea that Egon had a daughter somehow.
I know, that's actually, I wonder how they explain that.
Yeah, we won't go into that. And that they're going to be living on this old farmhouse that their grandpa used to own. And of course, he was doing all sorts of ghost like experimentation and whatnot, but they didn't really know what their grandfather was really into. But then there's going to be something in this kind of out of the nowhere town involving ghosts. And there's Ecto-1. The kids are maybe catching ghosts with Paul Rudd. I mean, I don't know if everything's gonna be cool. It's gonna be great. What I do dig about this more is that Jason Reichman did like a director's cut of the trailer, and he's like, look, I'm Jason Reichman, the director of Ghostbusters Afterlife. And when he talks about the film, man, you get the feeling it's like he gets it.
Yeah.
Well, he gets it.
That's what actually I was going with, Sean, as I was that he was explaining like how he made these things, because he wanted to touch on to the original, which is great. Which is a tough thing to do. Sometimes it's well received, sometimes it doesn't work out. But they tried doing as much practical as they could. I appreciate that driving sequence of the Ecto-1 is actually a real car. They had to rebuild the Ecto-1 because they don't have the original one.
Yeah, fine.
And I appreciate it. Like, yep, we rebuilt an Ecto-1. We put a Corvette engine and we drove it through a cornfield. I'm like, that's kind of dope.
That's dope. I would love to have done that.
That is hella dope.
And Castle did that.
I think it's a stunt person that does it. But yeah,
I think the kid can drive.
So you're saying they let a minor? Oh, yes. Drive the car.
What, through a field? Yeah.
No.
Totally.
I don't think.
What's he gonna hit?
Barley? I don't know if you've actually driven through a field before.
Yeah, I have.
In a car that is going that fast.
Yeah.
It's crazy. An actual real car, Sean.
I mean, all right.
Nothing is big.
Randy, shut up.
No, nothing I'm saying I have. Ecto-1. I've literally done that in a truck that is going real fast.
I mean, not like a Ford F-150, but in like some like Toyota truck, but still having a ball doing it.
No, see,
motorcycle as well. But
see, that's not the same. Also going to point out,
fine,
they will not risk one of their stars to do this.
It'll be fine.
Wow. Nope. I'm going to go. Wow. Sean is not responsible with his talent. Let's say that now.
You'll be fine. Whatever. And I think.
No, they had a stunt person. I'm very certain it was a stunt person. They're not going to. Okay, Sony is not going to allow them to do that. That's a lot of money.
You're telling, like, look, Finn's like, look, okay, all right, stunt person, sure, but let me get a few shots in, all right?
I'm sure they may have let him drive 20 feet, and then they, like, okay,
get the guy in. Fine.
Hey man, it doesn't happen. You don't want
whatever.
To get hurt. Anyway,
okay, we're getting trailer, sidetracked here.
I mean, Jason Reitman did such a good job. I feel, regardless of what the success of this movie is, you know, he put his heart and soul into this movie.
Yeah,
and I like that he's trying to keep it. Well, doing the tightrope of connecting to the original by having, like, they had Annie Potts reprise her role, which is great, and then there are also little touches, like they're trying to look back at what this stuff is they find. Like, we see Paul Rudd with a ghost trap, so he looks up the Ghostbusters commercial online. I'm sure those kids have no idea what this is about.
Yeah, and what their grandpa did or whatnot. Yeah, he's just stuff. Like a crazy old man. That's all they know.
And then, you know, I'm hoping that this does well. At the same time, I also know the trends of what they're using, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. Although I will say,
yeah, having, you're right.
Having Ecto-1 have that suicide door with the one gunner position, that was pretty rad.
Yeah. See, the thing is, when Jason Reitman's saying, like, look, when he wanted, like, the whole thing, the idea of Ghostbusters is that they're doing these fanatical things, but it's like ordinary people.
Yeah.
Like, ordinary people can be doing this heroic stuff. And it's a team. So you have, like, Finn here driving Ecto-1, chasing the ghost, his little sister out the gunner seat, firing at the ghost, and somebody else, he didn't want to say who else, but somebody else driving the RC car trap, chasing the ghost. And it's this team trying to catch this ghost through the town. And like, oh, that's so good. It's so good. He gets it. I love it. It's good.
I mean, I don't know. Is there a scenario where it's not a squad of people busting ghosts?
I can't think of any.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, I always look at that, like, that's the basis of Ghostbusters. They're just regular folks.
Yeah, and I love that.
And in some cases, teenage kids who had an after-school program with a crazy scientist.
All right, yeah. Ghostbusters Extreme.
Sean, are you sad because I made fun of that show and you told me you liked it?
I do like that show. It just looks like trash. I could say that. I like
I mean, the animation is what it was, but the story, I mean, it's a kid's cartoon, I guess.
It's a kid's cartoon. It's fine. But whatever. And it's just like a continuation of the original cartoon series. I mean, technically, I just wish it looked better because, you know, they didn't have any kind of budget for that.
Yeah.
No, not at all. So whatever for that, they had to kind of put into writing, and it wasn't like the greatest. I mean, honestly, if you wanted to watch the old cartoons, they're not like written great.
Fun, and they tie in, they actually make fun of the second movie, which I think is great.
Yeah,
and
it's fine.
They actually got good voice actors to not necessarily 100% be, they're not the actors, but they're close enough in sound.
Great roster for that.
Sony did re-release the series on YouTube, so you can watch them for free now.
Yeah, you totally
watch them and tell me what you got. Hey, tell me which, if you like Ghostbusters Extreme, good on you.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, the original cartoon series is kind of dated, but yeah, the actual series of Ghostbusters Extreme, it just doesn't look great. The colors are all muddied and the palette's really like kind of dark and bleh. You know, it's not really something you really want to look at. But stories and the situations and all the ghost busting, I'm a huge fan of Ghostbusters, so I am like nostalgia boner that series. So yeah, whatever. But Ghostbusters Afterlife, like, Jason Reitman gets it, and I'm down with this, and I want to watch the shit out of this.
Yeah, it comes out November 11th, folks. Mark that in your calendar.
November 11th. It could not come any sooner for Sean Vander here. Let me tell you. Oh, fuck. I'm stoked for that.
I am disappointed that they allowed, because there's toys out there, or pictures of toys.
Oh, yeah.
And they spoiled a lot of stuff. I'm like,
somebody dropped the ball there. If you want
guys.
To find that article, if there is an article for that, you could pop that up.
I don't want people to be spoiled by it. I'm going to be more responsible.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Because, you know.
You're right. You're right. So,
that one.
We will just say there is some spoiling in this film.
Yes.
Through the toys that have came out. And it's not the first time this sort of shit has happened. But I'm like, man, really?
Guys, this fucking is like, this really? Kind of big stuff. Kind of big stuff.
Stop it.
All right. That's all we're going to talk for that one. Because, you know, it's not fun. I'm a little apprehensive on how this movie will pan out, because, you know, when you put kids into a franchise, kids doing kooky things, sometimes you can get Goonies, sometimes you can get Three Ninjas, just saying.
I mean,
I'm hoping it's
I can't weird. Imagine yeah but all right I can argue but no let's not we have
no I mean no do. I'm saying I'm not even trying to argue I'm just saying that's the range we can get
I
we
know get
Three we Ninjas can. Which I mean I that's like
the, I know, but I can argue and let's not. Okay.
You can argue what? You're going to say, no, Sean. No, no, Randy. It's going to be great.
No, Randy. I'm not going to argue with you.
It's going to be great. I'm going to do it for you. Damn it, Randy. Why are you such a downer? Jason Reitman gets it. He gets it. He knows. Like, I get it.
What else will I say, Randy?
You're going to say it's got all these original stuff in it. Like, and?
What else? What else will I say?
And then a bunch of them. I don't know.
You know me so well.
Well, that's what you've been saying literally the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm going to say there's a range in which I think it falls in, and I really hope it's.
That's not what I was going to argue, because you're right. I was another thing, but fuck it. We have time. We don't have time. We got other shit. It's fine. Let's go. We have games to talk about and all sorts of shit. Nintendo.
Do we, Sean? Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
I have no access to that Google Docs, but I know what's on the docket.
All right. Well, I am not those people who are disappointed that a Nintendo Switch Pro was not announced. I'm not. Do I wish one came out? Sure. But I also understand the business.
That would be rad, though.
I understand the Nintendo business, and I understand that, you know, they have a plan, and maybe there is one somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's Nintendo. It knows their business. It's done really well for them so far.
Yeah.
People counted them out on the Nintendo Wii when they said that they were going to go under. This was over a decade ago. People said after the GameCube's quote-unquote failure that they should just become a software developer like their formal rival Sega and putting Mario on other platforms. They made the Wii, they made motion controls a thing, and they took a dump on everyone's bad news because they sold a lot of consoles. Mm-hmm. Now, was it an amazing console? No. Is it a fun console? I will say yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely yes. So when they said they released the OLED model of the Nintendo Switch, which basically is a better version of the original with a lot slightlier screen, nicer clarity, wider. They improved the kickstand, which I think is smart on their end.
Yep.
They, you know, I it's great for anyone who wants to have the handheld experience. It was amazing. Then Bloomberg released a report basically stating that because they announced the sticker price of $349, which is $50 more than their standard. Bloomberg released basically saying that $50 actually cost them $10 more on top of what it costs to make a Switch. And that equated out to an $80 profit. Some people online got really upset by that, by saying, hey, why is Nintendo making so much money on consoles? Because, you know, the trend generally is you make less on consoles or don't make money at all because you make money on software or your services. Nintendo made a statement basically saying, hey, that shit's false. We don't, the amount of profit we make there is grossly exaggerated. We, you know, I think full statement is.
Okay.
The news report on July 15th claimed, and this is from Nintendo of Japan, their official Twitter account, claimed that the profit margin of the Nintendo Switch OLED model would increase compared to the Nintendo Switch. To ensure correct understanding among our investors and customers, we want to make clear that claim is incorrect. We also want to clarify that we just announced that the Nintendo OLED will launch in October 2021 and have no plans of launching any other model at this time. Now, I like that they threw in an advertisement there for that. But basically breaking down that Bloomberg, they had their expert explain based on the parts that they are aware of, that the cost of each individual part equated to $10 more, which I think they say the Switch cost like, I think was it $230 or something like that, 200, It's $270 to make. So they're making $30 profit, and then you add another 50, so it's $80 of profit. And I hear that, and as someone who's had to make things, you want to make money on those things. You try not to, you don't want to sell at a loss if you can avoid it. But it turns out that someone also broke down that report just shows the parts themselves. It doesn't talk about the marketing. It doesn't talk about the actual putting together of, I mean, you've had to put together things, right? Yeah. You've done that on, it's like, yeah, there's a cost. If you're doing it professionally, you're getting paid. So you're paying someone to do these things. So even if they're making the, I didn't care when they're making $80, I'm like, damn. But if it's less, whatever. I did not get one, unfortunately. I tried.
You know, I'm not going to.
I tried just to see if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at it and it looks clean. The trailers I've seen, they're showing how it works. Looks dope. The new, because they did, they have a newer kickstand, which is wider now. It has a really good screen for handheld mode. It's mainly for a handheld. Mm-hmm. They did some additions to the docking station now, where they got rid of one USB port in favor of an Ethernet port, which I'm for that. I think that's great. Can actually get, and what I like is that dock is compatible with the other versions of your, as long as it's not a Switch Lite.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, awesome. The only thing I can say in defense of the OLED really is that if they did make a pro version, like, how would the visual part work as far as it being a handheld and being in dock mode? Because that means that all their games would have to have been tested and made to do that. Now, I'm not saying that's not possible. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's a lot of extra work to do for a console that's just literally a refresh.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably not going to care enough about this, especially since I have a Mario Edition one that I just got.
Yeah, I mean, you got like three Switches or something. Yeah, three Switches. Like, I think you're fine, dude. You're good to go.
I look at it, it looks really clean, and I don't know. I'd have to see the OLED screen in person and be like, oh, okay. I'm also gonna say, goddamn bots messing everything up. I hate that so much. But yeah, I mean,
I'm sure bots already bought the thing out, complete and clean. I mean, and dry.
I don't know. There's
already
that does it well. But yeah, you're gonna pass on it. But if they release the pro version, I know we've talked a little bit about it before, but
yeah, dude.
Is there any features that you really, really want aside from Bluetooth headset compatibility?
You know, I was gonna go there. Okay, no, I'm not gonna get another one. I like, honestly, at this point, I don't even think if they were to come out with a pro and it had the Bluetooth and all the bells and whistles I want, or didn't even know I want, but now that are available, and I'm like, well, now I need it in my face and mouth. So, I don't think I would even get it right now, just because I'm fine. Like, everything seems cool with it, and I play with my Switch docked, like, primarily. I'm looking at it right now, and I'll play Smash Brothers, and like, I'm looking at it right now. What is it? The Pac-Man multiplayer, Tetris multiplayer. Oh, excuse me. What else? Oh God. Oh yeah, Streets of Rage.
Did you play Oberdeen yet? I know you picked that up.
I did pick that up. I'm gonna put that on the stream. That's things for later at the podcast. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I just play with it primarily docked, and I'm not really freaking out about it. It's cool that I can play it like in my hands and whatnot, which is the joy of the Switch and what it is. But I'm not really freaking out about, like, if they were to come out with a pro, and I'm not even going to really try and get the OLED, even though it's got a really dope kickstand and it looks better, but it looks better being played handheld.
Yeah. It's meant
like, I don't like, whatever. I'm not going to do that.
I actually am the opposite. I play primarily handheld. I mean, I do docked on occasion. Especially when I'm traveling, I have my little mini converted Switch dock that I take with me. But I actually play a lot in handheld mode, and I feel like I'd be the one market that's for that. I actually have no problems with my Joy-Con in it either, which I know that that's a little hot topic as far as people and their drift, which someone supposedly found a fix for. And apparently, a side note, Nintendo may have been actually trying to fix the problem like from a while ago, because someone took apart a Joy-Con recently and found out there's some pieces that are added. So I don't know. We'll see if that fixes anything.
Okay.
But I really enjoy it. I'm not in the need for it because it doesn't do anything as far as performance, because everything else is the same. I know that the sound system is supposed to be better, which I'm that's great. Cause I actually do play with the speakers and I play with headphones on. And you know, added features they have in there, it's not enough to push me over, not for $350. Now, if they made that the standard price, like they made it $299 and they dropped the older models to $249 or whatnot.
Something.
Maybe then we'll see. But I think they're in a good space where they don't need to do that. And I'm sure what'll happen is, you know, after the holidays, maybe they'll announce, hey, we have a new system coming and it'll be the successor to the Switch. Because, you know, as long as they can make some of the games, all I ask is make them a little bit backward compatible, just a little bit. Not every single, maybe actually every single game.
Yeah, okay.
Because I want them to treat it like they treated when it went from Game Boy Advance to the DSi. DSi, you were still able to play your Game Boy Advance games.
That's true. Game
Boy games, I think. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes, because it's the same cartridge slot. But hopefully that works out. I back Nintendo on all these things, just because I'm not saying that they're always the best, but they have not done me wrong so far. And
they're consistent.
They never said they're releasing a Switch Pro. I know everyone talked about that. That name, I actually don't think would have worked for them either. I actually would have liked it if they called it the Super Nintendo Switch. Just think that's the SNS, I guess. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe Nintendo has other plans. We'll see. I'm hoping they do, because now with the next story we have is Valve announced, good old Valve, the makers of, you know, Counter-Strike.
Mm-hmm. That's Steam Deck, though.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, that's Steam Deck. And it does look good at the same time. Is it too good to be true?
That's the question right there.
There's a lot of you who say it is, but I don't know, since it's not out yet, how do you really know?
Yeah.
They have Valve, you know, they are a gaming company, but they also have that platform Steam. They announced that they are making a handheld PC, which there's a lot of these out there. There are actually a bunch of handheld PCs. A lot of them I've seen in person that look amazing. They're also pricey. Like a really decent one, the one I would want was like $800. It had like a
NVIDIA Shield has like a sort of thing like this too.
NVIDIA Shield, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what the Nintendo Switch was built from. Like they have that similar technology. There is a company out there that made a Steam.
Ew.
I made a handheld PC that has an NVIDIA 20, was it a 20, a 2080 built into it, which I'm like, damn, that's amazing. But also
that's pretty cool. But
makes it like almost a grand. But yeah, there is.
Look at that fucking thing.
The Steam Deck, which we're showing here from the Verge web article, verge.com. It's supposed to be able to run all your games from your Steam account. And it has a 720 screen. You'll see there's these thumb pads on the side, which are supposed to help you with like using it as a trackpad. Similar to their Steam,
like a mouse.
I'm going to mention some of the Steam's hardware that they've made, and it's not great, folks. I'm just going to be very honest. That controller was not good.
Nope.
They had the Steam machines, which they will
also not good.
We'll let you know that they did not make those, although they told people to make it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. They did say in articles that they have learned lessons from the past, and that they're making this system, and it looks very much like it. As I scroll down here, you'll see it's supposed to be coming out this winter. They compare in size to the Switch. It is bigger, which, you know, because of the hardware they have in there.
Yeah.
It's running a, let me see, what is it? Does it have it in here?
What the GPU is?
It's running an AMD APU, which is amazing. Like that's all the rage now because, you know, we don't have video cards to do things. So we're using the CPU to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can find what the actual specs are. But yeah, it looks cool. It also has internal storage where you can get it down to, I think, was it, it's 256 for the base model, and then there's the, let's see if I can find it here, There's the
yeah, that thing
where the release date 2021 is coming out. Then there's the, it has the storage or expandable storage like micro SD, similar to the Switch does.
Yeah, that's,
and
I think you need that sort of stuff like now if you're like with what you're doing, you need it.
Oh yeah, it totally,
you can't, like, not have that.
There are three tiers. $399 to 64 gig. Mind you, these are all using internal storage, not the expandable one, which they say is supposed to be up to.
What a PC gamer. Gig.
Yeah. And then $256 for $529. And then for the half a terabyte, was it NVMe SSD drive, $649.
Look.
That's a lot.
Above all, for this,
yes,
I'm looking at the photo. I do not like where that D-pad is. I hate it.
They say it's not. If you can look online what it is, the Steam Deck, it runs on an AMD Zen 2. It's 4-core, you know, AMD RDNA, which is their APU. And it's going to have 16 gigs of DDR5, which is cool. And then
1280.
Yeah. And then it does 1280 resolution on the screen. And it's supposed to be able to, you can play it docked. Like,
yes,
you can plug it in with USB-C to your monitor or your display. And it'll work that way. There's also a docking station that they're selling separately. Now, there's all these things I can say about it. Now, you look online, you'll see videos of how it looks in motion based on what the reviewers are.
Yeah, I saw some of those.
Yeah, I will say, I think it's cool. I'm hoping it works out, but I also understand sometimes things are too good to be true, because I have a hard time believing that this machine will do as much as it does for that low a price.
Yeah, look, man, like, I've seen these things before. You think this isn't think this isn't the only or the very first like handheld PC thing that has ever been made ever? Like NVIDIA. There's been a few. Like NVIDIA's made something called the Shield back in the day.
That's more of a tablet. That's more of a tablet.
It felt more like a tablet, but it did exactly what this does. This is like, we're gonna appeal to the Switch clientele, but for PC games, you can play a lot on here, which is cool.
Yeah,
like, essentially, I mean, I could play League on this. I could play a bunch of Steam games on here. I don't know what the OS is going to be like. I don't know if I get to run this shit in mode.
It's Steam OS, and they say you can actually flash it mode with whatever you want on there. Like, you can run Linux or whatever
on there. And that's cool, but like, why would I fucking do that to this?
Yes.
Like, why?
It is a weird thing. Sorry to interrupt. It is a weird audience they're trying to get, because, you know, the handheld world, generally, it's been dominated by Nintendo, let's be quite honest.
Yeah, it is. And
to a lesser extent, mobile on your, like, smartphones or tablets, gaming is on there too. Mm-hmm. But to have this bulky-ish device to be your go-to, and it is a handheld PC, don't get me wrong, it could probably do amazing things. My question is, how good is the battery life, and how easy is it to carry around? Because the Switch is pretty big.
It is relatively beefy. Speaking. Yeah. And, like the light, I feel like you can move that around.
It's a little easier. Way easier. I mean,
and you're telling me that this thing is bigger than the Switch? Yeah, it is. Damn. And I get it. You have to make it kind of beefy because of like the serious hardware that's backing the thing up. But good Lord, I don't feel like, I don't know, especially with Steam and Valve.
Yeah,
like Valve has not had, like, the Steam controller is trash. And then you go and make and do this. Like, I appreciate you putting your name in the hat a bit. Ooh, get rid of that.
Yep.
But like, for real, I don't think I would pick this up. And on top of that, you made the best version, like for the 512, you made the best version, like $650.
Yeah. I mean,
Jesus.
I gotta believe if all their hardware they're really saying is does what it does, they are definitely selling this console at a loss. They're selling it at a loss, and I will say
can do it, or Valve can do it. Sorry,
yeah, they
Valve
can afford can that. Do it. That I will can. Say one thing that they did do something right, which I both love. It's really in the sense that they put out a statement saying you can only get it through Steam. Like, you had to go through their online store. It's not sold anywhere else.
Okay,
and you had to have an account that was active in the last 6 months to have made purchases. Now, that's whether or not you have from 6 months prior. So even if you bought downloaded like free things, technically that's a purchase.
Yeah.
Got in there. So it helps prevent bots. And you can that's only cool. one per account. So you actually have to create a Steam account, which I'm like, that's smart. Good on you. I don't know why other companies didn't try that. Looking at you, Sony. But they did. Yeah, they could have done that. But Steam did that. And the best part is there are people who, if you look online, there are articles of people seeing screenshotting, people selling the Steam Deck on eBay already, which I'm like, guys, it's not even out yet. And it's not even out yet.
You're the problem.
But eBay has a rule saying you have to have an item available within 30 days of when you posted it.
Yeah.
But you can't do a pre-order of a thing that doesn't exist for months now. So they shut all, like, I think it was supposed to be like hundreds of listings got shut.
Good.
Down. I'm like, you guys are the yes, problem. Way to go, eBay. Thank you. Now, I'm going to let you know now, I did pre-order one. I got the second level, the 256 model. Now, mind you, they also did a thing where it's $5 down. That's all I did. All I did was I gave it a shot, $5, got that. And we'll see if it shows up. It could be amazing. It could also be not great. And
I need to have that thing in my hands to really find out. Because
I will.
Seeing that thing in action. Okay, so seeing that thing in action, just like the video we saw for like, oh, this is what it does. And you can completely flash the mofo and run Linux or Windows on it. I'm like, I don't know why I would want to do that, but okay, sure. You made made a little mobile switch like computer, which cool, but like I don't really care. I need to have that thing in my hands to see how that runs.
Yeah.
I need to know what the track touch pad thing, how that feels.
I need
to feel how the analogs work. That D-pad where that is, I don't like it. The buttons, the D-pad's way too high. I think this, even the buttons on the thing are way too high.
I think the way they did that is because a lot of the games that you're going to play on Steam, you're not going to need the D-pad, realistically.
Okay.
Because of, you know, because think about Steam game,
put
the
games it lower.
You have on your Steam library. You're like, oh, yeah. Also, they did make it where you could play this docked. So you could use a mouse and keyboard with it, which they did say.
That'd be the case. I'd rather play this shit on my PC.
It's for the on the go. But I know the more I'm saying, these are just things they made statements about. And as technology goes, I'm impressed by it as long as it does what it says it does based on a glance.
Okay.
At the same time, I don't know who they're marketing this really to. Because now the question is, why couldn't Nintendo do this? How come they can't make this Switch Pro? I'm like, listen, Nintendo does what they do.
And Nintendo didn't want to charge you $600 for a Switch Pro.
Yes. Which, so, and then, you know, and then never mind that we actually don't have games that you could do pro stuff with.
Yeah. So,
calm
your tits.
I was like, listen, it'll come out. But someone did point out that if you could flash this, you could run the emulation software that does Switch games. So technically the Steam Deck would be a Switch Pro. Which you I look at, like,
yeah.
At the same time, I've played some of those games on emulation.
Trash.
It is not great.
Yeah,
it's like,
don't emulate current shit.
I'm
it
like,
still needs. It, yeah. Trust me, it always needs time in the oven. You pull that shit out always way too early. Trust me.
And then I was looking. I'm like, well, I mean, maybe Nintendo. This could force Nintendo's hand. Maybe, or maybe they don't care. They're like.
They don't care.
The one thing I will say I'm impressed by, if it's true, is that it could output 4K when you're docking with it, which I'm like, cool, I guess.
That's cool.
At the same time, I go,
that thing is for, that's for on the go if I have to play Call of Duty or
Grand Theft Auto. You really need to play Warzone. You need
You have to play. Like, I'm on the bar. I can't.
But on a tinier screen.
Like, yeah. Like I got to do it, Rand.
you got to get at the park and play some Control. And
then go home.
The only thing I would like to play is a lot of my rogue-like games, you know, or playing.
Sure.
But I also think about, I'm like, those games that I have on Steam, I'm like, I actually have that on my Switch and it runs pretty well.
Again, it runs like a damn champ.
Okay. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm hoping it works out for Valve. This is a big swing. Because if you're trying to come at the portable gaming market, Nintendo kind of has that. And if you're going to hit the king, you better kill the king. You better, if you're going to go for this, it better do everything you say it did.
Well, yeah, you better, like, you want to see them put their best foot forward and have this thing run really well and do really well, but you can't kill this king. I'm sorry. Nintendo's doing it for so long and they just know the market. Like they just know it. I'm sorry. And
I mean, I spot on Valve having aggressive pricing. The only thing that's going to really hurt them is, much like a lot of other, the newer hardware company or newer hardware companies have released, can they get enough quantity?
Right now, I don't see it happening.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'll have one in December 2021 when they say it's going to come out. Mm-hmm. I may have pre-ordered one, but I'm pretty certain they didn't say guarantee.
You'll get one.
I might get one
next year.
It'll be this time next year. I'm like, hey guys, remember when I talked about the Steam Deck?
It's in my hand. Finally, I'm like, you finally got that thing.
But then I also got my Switch Pro right here, guys.
Yeah,
it does better.
My check Nintendo this out. I got my Steam Deck, and my son went to college. You know, like thanks.
It's like yeah.
Valve.
I got my Steam Deck, and I was also able to. You were able to walk your daughter down the aisle. You're like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Steam. I don't know. I hope it works out because I actually do like Steam as a service. I know they're not. I don't think
I love perfect, Valve and Steam,
but they're not perfect.
Not with hardware.
Sorry,
it's truth.
Oh, I'm waiting for the moment where we're like, nope.
If they blow me away, then please blow me away.
Yes.
I'm open.
Yes. Hope it'd be more funny if someone's like, will it run my Epic Game Store app so I can play games from there instead? Oh, yep. I did. Yeah. I said, yeah. Now fix your camera, Sean.
I'm trying. Where'd it go? Oh, fuck. I did that with authority. Shit.
Yeah. See, now you messed up. For people that are listening, Sean put his camera down and now he's got to fix it.
All right.
There you go.
Oh,
but no, I mean, I guess if you could run Windows on it, you could run any of those platforms like Game of Galaxy.
Yeah, you'd be able to.
Game of Galaxies, Steam. But yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping the only way I feel like would mess it up for them is if you can't access Steam properly through their Steam Deck. And they're like, nope. I'm like, I got to bring
you it had up. One job, Valve.
One job, access your
Steam. And you fucked this up.
Pretty much. But yeah. And that's all I got to say about that. I hope it works out. If you guys are interested in the Steam Deck, let us know. What are you excited about it? Do you think Nintendo should have released a pro or a super version or whatever they want to call it? I don't know. We'll see how it works out. Now I think we have time for one more story, and it's one I'm actually, I wouldn't say concerned by, but you know, it's
what's that?
It's the company .mu. They're the co-creator or co-developer of Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah,
they got bought by a French publisher Focus Home Interactive purchased them, the makers of Streets of Rage 4 and Windjammers 2. It sucks when a small company gets bought, because then there's usually a loss of staff. There's also a chance that they may lose the heart of what makes them unique. I'm looking at GameSpot's article. They talk about the French developer and publisher .mu, which focuses on retro titles, has been acquired by a fellow French publisher, Focus Home Interactive. I looked at the Focus Home Interactive's game library. It ain't great.
Right.
They're okay, but they're nothing like what .mu's made.
Okay. Here's the thing. We don't know what's going to happen with this like recent acquiring.
Yeah.
So let's just chill out and see, just hang back a bit and what happens.
I'm happy for them because they were bought for 38.5 million euros, which I wish I had looked up how much is that in money? In money?
Okay, how about that, gross money? Man.
How much is that in dollars?
How much is that in American money? Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea.
Made that mistake.
It's probably more because European market's better than.
All right, so 38.5 million. Sorry, I'm gonna type that up now. I'm gonna
sure.
this stuff.
All right, cool. I'll do the rest of this.
It 40 wait. $45 million. That's
yeah.
Oh my god, that's a good amount. And then they also put in an additional 15 million euros on conditions of future revenue, basically meaning that if they I'm assuming based on this is that if they meet certain criteria as far as their revenue stream goes, they're going to get an extra 15 million. So whatever their goals are.
Okay.
And for people who don't know who .mu is, if you play Streets of Rage 4, or if you're excited about the new upcoming Turtles Shredder's Revenge game.
Oh yeah, that. Oh, they did that.
Yeah, they're working on that. It is, oh God, they're so good. .mu is an amazing studio. I really like them. I mean, Sean, you're playing Streets of Rage 4, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know they don't mess around as far as their quality of their games go.
Yeah, no, they're good. They're good.
They're good. And
they're a good
game. It's actually nice to hear the acquisition of a small company, because I believe .mu, they're not a big team. They're like,
no. I'm glad that somebody made money on that and were like, look, I want to make a video game studio that makes good games and good games only. God damn it. We got too much shit out there. We need to do something about this, you know, and I appreciate that. And I dig that for people giving that sort of love to the medium I follow, like video games.
Yeah.
And they put out Streets of Rage. Yeah. Windjammers. Is Windjammers 2 coming out, or Windjammers 2 out? I don't know. If it is, cool. I'll find a way to get it, because I'm not following it as much as I would love to. And yeah, the new Turtles. Yeah, it looks great. I love beat 'em ups.
That's our jam here.
It is our jam. But and
for the modern
guys made money when they got acquired, and that's good. This is probably a very big bonus for Focus Home Interactive, which
to get
these guys. Oh, totally. But what you don't want is the soul to be ripped out of .mu. And that's what you don't like to happen. Will that happen? I mean, time will have to tell right now. So,
and as far as I can see, Windjammers 2 came out.
Oh, sweet. Windjammers, I'll get it on my Switch.
Came out on, that says 2020. That's not right. Let me click on this link here. It came out. It says 2020. Switch. Oh, because the game's been delayed. It was supposed to come out in, the demo was available earlier this year, and I guess they're supposed to come out sometime at the end of this year.
Oh, okay, which, good.
Yes. Thank you. They have Streets of Rage 4, TMNT Shredder's Revenge coming. They made Wonder Boy in
never heard of Wonder Boy.
It was an early Switch, it was a early Switch title.
Okay.
But yeah, they have a bunch of smaller, you know, independent studio type games, but yes, kind of like that. They're all like these smaller, they're not big budget, they're not big AAA titles, but they are definitely the fun titles that you see out there, especially that's the ones on the Switch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the more famously they have Shredder's Revenge and Streets of Rage 4, and you know, they just released that DLC for Streets of Rage 4, which is super hot.
I haven't gotten that yet.
Oh my god, so many improvements, in the sense that they actually give you a training mode now.
With the training mode already. I just don't have any of the new characters.
I got all the characters. I mean, oh, super good. Ah, oh, amazing game. But again, I'm hoping that.
Wait, do I have to earn those characters?
No, they're unlocked. I got the DLC, the Mr. X.
I may have already.
And if you bought them, then you got all of the characters.
Okay.
You should love to do that, Sean.
All right.
But yeah, they are a great studio, and good for them for getting acquired. Now, again, like you mentioned, we don't know what this actually means. I'm hoping that none of the titles that they've been working on get changed. Like, I am excited for the Metal Slug Tactics game that they have coming, which it gives me it's like watching Metal Slug and Advanced Wars together. And I'm like, I love both those games. Yeah, and I think this will be a fantastic series for them. But, you know, hopefully this doesn't... hopefully this does is gives them more resources to do more fun stuff without...
Yeah, that would be good.
Without losing who they are. Because, you know, it's that whole, okay, we gave you more money. What are you going to do? I'm like, oh, shit, what do? We got more money.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see how it pans out, because they do they do a good job with retro games. Maybe they'll try into something more current as far as their type of game look. But I'm hopeful that Dotemu will keep doing what they do, because let me see, I'm going to share all the games that they have right now.
And we at the ES Arcade literally did stream Streets of Rage. Me, Emmanuel, and Rob did a thing. And on the ES Arcade, you can find that video of us trying to go through Streets of Rage and not beat it. We were so close.
they have all these games right here that they've been working on. Obviously, these top ones are the
Shredder's Revenge. I know that. Streets of Rage and Windjammers. So the rest of this, I have no idea. Dragon Trilogy. They did Double Dragon Neon? Fuck yeah.
Well, not Neon, the trilogy. Yeah, and then Another World, which is one of those indie titles out there. Very, like, it's the 2D.
Turf Masters? Ah, okay. Yeah, cool.
They got all of them, the Neo Geo. But yeah, they have some titles out there, and they're not necessarily developing every one of these. Some of them, they were just the publisher on, as far as I understand it. And they play on all platforms, so a lot of these games are, like, a lot of them, I prefer them on, cool. I feel like they're on the Switch, because I feel like it has that, it feels like this could be a really fun game to play on the go.
And they got R-Type, cool.
Play them on everything. You can play it on, you know, console, stuff. Let's see, actually, let me click on that. Yeah, well, these are their console games, and they're really good console games.
Wise, yeah. I think I've heard of Wise.
Yeah. But so good on them for getting bought out. Now, as far as what Focus Home does, actually, let me see. I'm just going to see what they have. It's going to be like one title. What did we make? You made one game. I'm like, okay. I now see why you, oh yeah, their site is not.
We need help. We bought you.
They don't have a lot of stuff. Ooh, Focus Home. Did they do that? No.
All right.
Okay. I thought it was something else. They have Aliens Fireteam Elite, which the trailer looks kind of dope, where you're the alien squad of Marines clearing out aliens. And it's
okay.
Which, you know, it's, you know, if you like playing third person shooters, then this is your game to play.
All right.
But yeah, they I can see why they bought them. They want to get that other market.
All right.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, congratulations, Dotemu. I hope you keep doing what you do. Focus Home Interactive, don't fuck this up. Don't. Pointing at you. Not you, Sean, but you know.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'll do the same thing.
Fucking don't mess this up. We say do not mess this up.
All of you motherfuckers better not mess this up.
And also, developers or at the staff at Dotemu, if you have any money you'd like to kick down to the ES Arcade, we really appreciate it.
I can't imagine you have like a whole bunch of money, but we love your games. We absolutely do. And that's not us bullshitting.
No.
Just for shill purposes. No. I try myself to do. To beat Streets of Rage solo on very hard. So yeah, I'm trying, man. I am trying.
There's a certain part where I go through this, I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna put on easy and play it because I'm tired of stressing out. I'm tired of stressing out. Thumb hurts from trying to get this freaking thing.
I loved Windjammers 1. I'm sorry I wasn't keeping up with Windjammers 2. I went, is that out yet? So you know, look, I love Windjammers 1, and I'm like, it'll be out when it's out. I'm not gonna really freak out. So So when that comes out, cool. And then the new Turtles game, I know looks good. I know it's gonna be like a straight up beat 'em up. And I'm like, you guys know your beat 'em ups, and I'm happy about that. And it's Turtles. Hell yeah, let's go.
Do you think they should try making not that they haven't made their own, but is there an IP out there that would lend themselves to a really cool retro style beat 'em up game made by
River City?
Was that
River City? River City. They already have Double Dragon
River City and River City. I mean, they kind of have their own.
They do.
They know what they're doing on that. That one doesn't need to.
They're fine. And I would say Capcom also knows what they're doing with Final Fight. They just need to put out a Final Fight. Yeah, that's all.
Actually, I think a Golden Axe by Dotemu would be really good.
Oh, hey,
a good Golden Axe, or if they get their hand on not, I know Capcom did make it, but if they could get the license for like the D&D hack and slash games.
Okay.
Like the, was it the was it the Dungeons and Dragons, Tower of Doom or whatnot. It's like, yeah, okay, get, bring some of those back. I know that's tougher because licensing, and I understand mm-hmm. that. But, you know, be kind of cool to see a new, like a their take on it. Because they did get Turtles. If they get Turtles.
I think they're fine. I mean, yeah, they got Double Dragon and they got Turtles. And they're doing the Streets of Rage. They're fine. I mean, in the sense, don't need anymore.
No. Oh, well, no. I mean, I would like their, they, that shows they have the talent to do mm-hmm. something else with someone else's IP. I'm like, fuck it. Well,
that's true.
Let's get some more shit. Let's get more stuff.
And if they want to diversify and do other shit, like, cause you're already doing Metal Slug Tactics, yeah, like a tactical game.
Ooh,
yeah. If you want, yeah, that's fine with me. But .mu, we love you. Keep doing your shit. I hope the soul of .mu is intact with this mm-hmm. merger or this buyout or whatever. So please continue to make really dope shit. And we at the ES Arcade love you.
Yeah.
Hats off to you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Please right. keep and, doing things.
And that actually is the last story we got.
Yeah.
So pretty much we're actually at the end of our time here. We actually got
all right.
a bit. And
into the personal stuffs.
Yeah. If you want to talk about, you got 5 minutes.
Just 5 minutes?
Just 5 minutes.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay, maybe more than five.
Yeah, dude. Look. Okay, look. Let's be honest here. We're running things right now. Okay.
What's this wee business, Sean?
Randy. All right.
Shit.
Quit dropping shit. Well, I can't command you to be like, quit dropping shit at your house.
Yeah.
All right. Some things happened in our lives, you know, humans being what they are. I'm kind of an open person. Not everyone is as open as me, and I like to tell like what's been going on in my life, and it's like, this sort of stuff's private and such. But you know what, here's the thing. All of us are going through some shiz. My family has been going through some shiz. So it was a good time to actually like take a break. Emmanuel's going to need a pretty big break. Pretty big break. And we're going to give him that pretty big break until he comes back. Right now, as is, he's not sure when he's going to come back. I don't want to go into his biz, but like, I get it. So let him do the thing until he comes back. And that's if he comes back.
Don't make it sound like that. I mean,
Emmanuel, I hate to say it.
No, Sean. First of all, like make it hella dramatic. Emmanuel's taking a break from the podcast. Can you say the very forthfront about that now?
Yeah.
And his decision to come back is his decision to come back.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you gotta say, dude. You're making it like, oh my God. I'm like, listen, he's not. Emmanuel started this show.
Yeah, he did.
The Word Vomit podcast. We just simply tagged along as his
co-host
crew. And, you know, now that he's not on the show right now, and whether or not he's on the show again, that's going to be his decision. And I hope you support that. So I hope Arcadians out there, you bear with us while we're going to try some new things, hopefully get things going. It's going to be slow. I'm going to be very upfront saying it's going to be kind of slow going for us because, you know, we got other stuff going on. We all have lives and whatnots. And I really hope that you stick around.
Yeah, please. So things are going to be changing in the production a little bit, especially with this podcast. I don't think the both of us even know how to really post this motherfucker.
I got that down. We got
okay. I would actually like to be taught how to post this motherfucker, just in case.
I'm not going
to
tell you any of that stuff, though.
Well, how the
hell?
You
got to look pretty. You just got to look pretty for the camera.
What do you mean it's got to look pretty? I can make it look pretty.
And be the talent that you are, and give me that soothing voice, and you let me handle this, baby.
That's in my soul. Stop it. Fucking
I'm just gonna touch you, Sean. It's
Jesus
okay.
Christ.
You feel my hand inside of my
face. Oh, and I do. Stop it. Fucking damn it, Randy.
It's okay, baby. It's okay.
Anyhow.
No, no, we're all the logistical stuff, we're gonna work that out.
Yeah. You know. And we're gonna really try like hell to get this podcast out every Monday morning.
Maybe. I'm gonna say try. The emphasis is on try.
Yeah.
There's a little totally bit of learning curve.
Try.
In some stuff we have to work out as far as the behind the scenes stuff that, you know, maybe you guys don't. I mean, realistically, I don't care about. But hey.
I also want to try and see if we can get us live again on like recording in front of each other.
Yes.
Right. Probably at my place. Right now, as is at, around my household, not a good idea. My niece has had COVID.
Oh.
And yeah, it's not. Oh, I want to keep things away. I've been cleaning, or we've been cleaning. Sorry, I've been kind of really busy with work and everything. We clean where we go and whatnot to bring Randy over here. Nah, he's gonna treat my place like kryptonite. So that's fine, and I get it. Once everything starts to settle down,
we want
to
be safe. We just want to be safe. I know that's gonna be a learning curve. We thought we were. I know a lot of people thought this once things would open up and, you know, the things in place, like, you know, the vaccines and whatnot would be the end all be all. I would argue, I'm just going to say sometimes people messed up. That's why we don't get nice things.
Yep. Agreed.
But we are going to do our due diligence to keep this going. I know that it is not great. At least I know, Sean, that you were like, you really want to record in person? I'm like, yes, as do I, but I also want to keep us all safe.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully we have virtuals that we could do and whatnot. And, you know, you also are going to, I mean, you've been streaming on your Twitch.
Yeah.
Right.
A little more. I want to do that this weekend.
All right.
With me and my nephew have been having fun with Call of Duty, and I want to switch it up. Cause I went to, me and Randy actually went to a video game store. Yeah.
Check out our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the ES Arcade Instagram.
And I bought a little gem called Virtual On. I want to see if I can get that running on my Saturn with my Framemeister. I want to film that sort of thing, like hooking it up and whatnot, and what the Framemeister does.
I feel like you want to make sure it runs first.
Yeah, and So I want to do that and make a little bit of a video. As for video production on ES Arcade, that's still all me. I just need to do stuff, and we may start putting this visual part of the podcast back up in some way or form, in another form. That's all up on me as well. But other than that, we're just going to try and be as active as possible now. And yeah, the only thing that's changed is sans Emmanuel right now.
Yeah. Yes, pour one out for my homie Emmanuel.
Yeah, I make enough. He's not dying.
No, actually, we gotta make sure we explain that now. He is not dying. He's just not part of the. He is not actively part of this podcast recording.
I want to blame the big-breasted Latina.
I knew you were gonna say that.
That we were going to replace me with. Her name is Manuela. And she instantly took a liking to Emmanuel. They are in the Caribbean right now, probably making mad, sweet, passionate love.
First of all, Arcadians, that is not a real thing. This is a story that Sean's making up.
And making many babies. And Emmanuel is sipping on a martini, chilling on a lawn chair on the beach.
Okay.
Is in my head. So, yeah.
I feel like you should have had that big-breasted Latina woman.
You know, I think Emmanuel deserves it more.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to say that that's the end of our show. And thanks for listening to us. We really appreciate it. Check us out on all our socials, the at ES Arcade. Like we mentioned on our Instagram, we do have new photos that we put up of the Experience Share game store in Alameda.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool spot. We have photos with the owner and the crew there, and us of what we picked up. Sean got some really good gems there, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for coming into the ES Arcade. We're gonna have to hit up that close sign. Goodbye.
Peace.
And that was the ES Arcade. Thanks for listening. As always, we'd appreciate a like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow us on our social media at ESRcade, that's C-A-D-E, on Facebook and Twitter, and ESR_Cade on Instagram. And hey, you can follow Randy on Twitter at Randy B. Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, and Ransom01 on Instagram. I see what you did there, bud. Thanks again for listening. The arcade is officially closed. See you next time.